Hi, this is Favi Fav.
And this is Babelito.
And we are
Latinos Who Lunch,
the podcast where we talk about important things like
Feliz Día del Niño, Pequeños Retoños. Todos somos unos pequeños retoños.
Hello, hello, hello.
Kasho, kasho, kasho.
What's cracking, Babelito? What is new? What's the 411? What are the cool kids talking about?
I'm just here looking at the rain in my window, wondering if it's water or my own tears. How are you?
Oh my God.
One time, así puso mi primo in Facebook, and I gave him so much shit, and I think he stopped posting ever. I feel bad. But I'm good.
So
how are you?
You know what I just thought about?
What?
Okay. I've never talked about this on the show. Hold on. But I am like a huge, like, okay. I love like the most basic, like white pop culture shit.
Uh-huh.
Like when people are so mediocre, then they make careers out of it. I fucking stan a fucking scammer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's certain celebrities that are like, can get away with being famous just by being like, having a little charm or like a twinkle in their eye. And so,
con eso te compran.
So, me and my brother were talking the other day, and I was like, and he's like, bro, have you seen the Lizzie McGuire movie lately? And I was like, bro, I fucking love Hilary Duff. And
oh my
we started
God.
Talking. And you know my brother, like, so fucking straight. And he's like, bro, Cadet Kelly? Like, we just started going back and forth. And we're like, let's start a Hilary Duff podcast. So when you're talking about the rain, you know the song she sang?
Literally.
Literally, Hilary Duff has gotten away with being a mediocre actor on film, on television, and then a bad singer. And she's like, she's making a comeback right now.
Oh my God.
But remember, she used to sing this theme song to Laguna Beach, that fake reality show?
Yeah.
That eventually became, that eventually became The City and the Hills. And so, which I also watched every fucking episode. It's like, let the rain fall down.
Oh my God, girl. You know,
remember that song?
That song was so big in Mexico. She used to perform in stadiums. In Mexico.
Oh,
y los llenaba, güey. Es como la pinche Paris Hilton in the Middle East. Like, nadie es profeta en su tierra. Like, she was a huge deal.
Girl, my primas from Juarez, they're like obsessed with Hilary Duff and Lindsay Lohan.
That's like, so weird.
Like, I remember she came all the way to Las Vegas to see a Lindsay Lohan concert, Lohan concert, whatever. I blew my mind. I'm like, wait, you spent your money to see that?
Like, wait, what? She sings?
Oh, don't get it twisted, honey. Hilary Duff has some bops.
Right? No, she really does. But I mean, I don't think she will ever fill more than like a 1,000 people venue, you know? But God bless.
It was, you know, back in the day after Mean Girls, and, you know, it was the beginning.
Speaking of Lindsay's, there's this girl on YouTube. Her name is Lindsay Ellis, and she does commentary, like criticism on media, but she goes deep down. She did this whole video about protest music in the 90s. I mean, in the early 2000s with George Bush and everything, which there was nothing. There was not really like mainstream. Like Black Lives Matter, I always think of Kendrick Lamar. Like there's so much people, you know, behind it. And she talked about all of those basic ass white girls that were so fucking famous in the early 2000s. ¿Cómo se llamaba esta skater girl? Like,
I'll see you later, boy.
Yeah.
Avril Lavigne.
That was the norm. Like, what was going on?
We used to just turn to each other and go, life's like this. And then the other person would say, that's the way it is.
Just like in that song.
I know, qué desorden.
What anyway. Other basic? I don't know. Yeah, let's dedicate a show to basic white girls. No, I don't know why. We already spent 4 minutes on that. Let's move on. .org. Okay, so
what you doing? What's going on?
I'm here, you know, hungry because I don't know what it is. I don't like a big breakfast, you know, and so lately I've been trying to eat a standard breakfast more regularly, like before noon, but I don't really want to eat until like 1 p.m. usually. I don't know what it is about me. But it's probably, I don't know, just because I work all day long and I don't, my schedule is off. But in the morning, I don't know how these people do it where they just like eat like flapjacks and bacon and all that shit. And I'm like, that's too much. That's too much. Usually I just eat some oatmeal and some fruit. So that's what I've had today. Fascinating, isn't it?
I mean, I'm the same way. Like I wake up and I love a big breakfast, but I can't have it first thing in the morning. So no te vas a burlar y no vas a decir pendejadas. Like I have to wake up and have a banana. Girl, like that's the first thing. And it has to be...
Oh, you thought I was going to make fun of that?
It has to be the...
Girl, you eat bologna tacos. A banana...
Yeah. It has to be the ripeness. Otherwise, if it's está poquito like flojo, like it's fucking gross to me. But anyway,
breaking news, hot take: the banana has to be just right for you to eat it. There's nobody in the world that does that. Whoa, hot take.
Okay, no, güey, porque hay gente que le gusta toda aguada porque está más dulce, pero a mí no me gusta.
Mm-mm. Well, I'm allergic to bananas, so I don't know about that life.
Oh, that's right.
I only like them in pies or in pudding where they're cooked in bread. That's it.
So that's first. And then a pastry with my coffee. And then ya me empieza a dar hambre.
And then when during the day do you drink water? Like 3 p.m., 5 p.m.?
I do. Like,
just open your mouth in the shower?
Shout out to my friend Katie. I remember one time we stayed in Marfa. Speaking of whiteness, we stayed in Marfa. We volunteered for one of the open houses. And I remember she always put a glass of water next to her when she fell asleep. She's like, yeah, your body like basically loses all this liquids during the night. I was like, oh my fucking God, like that makes sense. So I'm drinking water all night long. And I wake up and I have a glass of water right there. And then I don't drink water till hasta la noche, güey, como hasta las 4 o 5 de la tarde. So you're right. I don't know. It's hard to, you know. I just have so much coffee to drink, you know.
Absolutely, absolutely. I completely understand that. I'm not really... I will drink a cup of coffee here and there in the morning if my roommates make it or if I have some, you know, instant Nescafe handy.
Ay, no, qué horror.
But I know. Oh, my God. What is it about my family? They love that shitty coffee. They're like Folgers, the red one, and then they have the green decaf one, and then they have the Nescafe one when there's, you know, when there's guests from California, right? And so you have a little bit of variety. I'm like, yeah, my family has never made coffee from like coffee beans since I can remember.
It's so crazy. Like with my mom, I remember she came and I have local fair trade, like roasted coffee. And I like specifically get, I like medium dark because the less darkness, the more caffeine it has. So like I have this whole system down. I grind my own granos and made this with the French press. And she's like, ay, no tienes Nescafé. I was like, what the fuck? It's so gross, but I mean, you know, it's a thing. People love that shit.
Yeah, your mama's a real one. Your mama's a real one. Okay, speaking of real ones, today on Latinos Who Lunch, we are interviewing the realest of the ones, our dear friend, Kenya Morales. Okay?
Okay.
And we met her years ago. I remember doing a march with her on the strip with the union a few years back. I think you were there too, Babelito.
Yeah, we actually met her at Atomic Liquors with Perez and Veronica.
We met Kenya through Radio Manea. And so You know, she is a badass, an activist, a mover, a shaker, and I'm so glad that we have her on the show today. I talked to her earlier this week. The timing couldn't be more perfect because, you know, I've been trying my best to try and change some institutions here in Las Vegas while I've been here, calling them in, you know, trying to help because there's a real big lack of diversity, equity, inclusion, you know, all that stuff. And just a lot of institutions, academic, nonprofits. White supremacy is real, y'all, you know?
Yeah.
And so we are right now in the middle of an uprising, and the time to change is now. The time to do better is now. So we talked about organizing, you know, in the time of COVID. We've talked about, you know, just specifics about politics, you know, some terms that I just wanted a little clarification on. But Kenya is the director of Win Justice Coalition, and she's going to talk all about it. So we're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back with Kenya.
Let's do it.
Oh, my God. I had to cough that whole time. Dios mío. Okay. OMG, Babalito. We have over 1,000 reviews on iTunes. Can you believe it?
We made it!
Keep them coming. Now I want to get to 2,000. We can do it, fam. If everybody that listens to this show leaves a review and likes it, we would have over 2,000 and no problem.
That will be so easy to accomplish. But have you read them, girl? They're so amazing. I have one right here for you. Are you ready?
Okay, read it.
Okay, so this is from Arcona. So good, and now I'm hungry. A fantastic pop culture and more show from a Latinx perspective. Fabi, Fabi, and Babelito are delightful hosts and take you on a journey through the media and issues within the Latinx community. Sometimes while discussing amazing food, y'all kind of monsters. You'll laugh and you'll nod, and you might learn a few things too. So give them a listen. They deserve it. Thank you so much, Arcona. That's awesome.
I got one here, too, from Run Nancy Run. The title is, Aleluya, Gloria a Dios, Amen. So glad I found y'all. Came across you a couple of weeks ago, and I have been on a LWL binge. Me siento en casa. It's light, fun, relatable, but also conscious about calling not only the audience out, but each other and themselves. Oh, that's my favorite part of the show, girl. on very important issues. Cannot recommend it enough. Thank you. Thank you, Run Nancy Run. Leave your reviews on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts now. Pull it up on your app. It's easy. Do it now.
And remember, 5 stars only.
Now let's get to Kenya's interview. Hello, Kenya.
Hello, hello, hello.
You're on Latinos Who Lunch, finally.
Can you believe it? We finally made it happen.
Oh my gosh, for years, I'm like, you gotta be on the show. And you're like, I'm just waiting for you.
Also, this is not my style. I'm sort of like, do the work. I've never on podcasts or anything, so this is new for me.
Oh, really?
I've never, yeah, you're my first. I'm here.
What an honor.
I've never been on a podcast, and excited that I get to do it with you.
Okay.
I have such deep respect for you and the crew over at Latinos Who Lunch. Oh,
thank you. So before we get started, you know this is Latinos Who Lunch. Let's talk about food. Let's talk about lunch.
You know, this is my favorite topic, Fabi. For real.
Okay, girl, get into it. What? Give me, you know, since you are here, a Nicaraguan on Latinos Who Lunch, Central America, represent.
Shout out.
Let's get into some of your favorite dishes.
Oh, shit. Okay. Well, I think there's some, you know, there's your fancy stuff, there's your day-to-day stuff. Mm-hmm. But I would say, like, my shit is like gallo pinto con queso frito unas tajadas, you know, and then like my curtido. Like, I think all Central American food is like crema with curtido with the rice and beans, right? Like, that is my shit. I was just joking with a friend about queso frito being a squeaky sound. You know, when you chew it, I'm yeah. like, yes, that queso frito was a good one. So, I mean, it's funny because milk is technically not good for me, like my el estómago, but I'm like, what's up, crema, queso frito? And then, but I'm a big fan of just like all of the colors. Yeah. You know, in Nicaragua, we make nacatamales, which I would argue are the best.
Okay. I'm just kidding. Are they with banana leaf?
They are. Yep. They're banana leaf and they're stuffed with, you know, meat and masa and depends if you're team raisin, team not raisin. I am team not raisin.
Okay. I respect
I will fight
it.
Somebody.
I respect
I am team like put olives, no raisins into the nacatamal.
I love the there used to be a Central American restaurant by my house and the tacos, the rolled tacos con el curtido yes. encima y le ponen crema. So they do the rolled so imagine crispy tacos. Mexicans call them flautas, right?
Flautas.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. But imagine that and then yeah, crema, queso and curtido just dripping. Oh,
you know, I know you have listeners all over the country, uh-huh. Fabi, but I would say for folks that are in Las Vegas,
yes,
I swear by La Bahia off of Charleston and Decatur. I swear to
Girl,
God,
that
I
is
swear
my
by
shit.
That is my shit.
I lo-
and then across the street is Sofritos, a Puerto Rican spot, which is also incredible. And this is, I think, Las Vegas is just spoiled that way. We have incredible food in the city.
The pastelitos from there, from across the
yes.
street.
Sofritos.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Girl. Yes, that is, you know what? That's going to be the recommendation for today's show.
Yes,
I'll put it in the show notes. Yes.
Well, and you know, I think this so much of this is related to back to politics, mm-hmm. right? Like how like support local businesses, like prioritize Black and Brown, you know, and Indigenous folks' foods, and so much of that is like also keeping culture and tradition and our folks' lives. You know, both their livelihood, but also our culture alive. And I think, you know, food is political, right? Mm-hmm. Like when fucking people out here, like discovering curtido, you're like, girl, bye.
Discovering? Excuse me?
Hey, excuse me.
Remember when everybody yeah. found out about pupusas? Oh, my
yes.
God. I remember buying a $7 pupusa in Denver, and I was like,
no.
Yeah, ya se acabó el mundo, ya viene Cristo. I can't believe it. A $7. The whites have colonized pupusas. Unbelievable.
I know. Well, okay, don't let them try to make like Central American tamales with the banana leaves. That's just too complicated.
No.
Just don't try it.
I think we're safe.
I know. I mean, it's all of this is related, even this Goya food shit, right? Did you talk about Goya food?
No, girl. You want to get into it? Let's get into
yeah.
it. Oh, my gosh. You see, you're a natural. This is your podcast now. Take over. Latinos Who Lunch with Kenya Morales.
Oh, my gosh. Hardly. But I think Goya Foods is a great example of all of this, right?
Yeah.
Like, I tweeted about it. I, like, went into my cupboard and I was like, ¿cuánta Goya yo tengo en la casa? Quiero ver. Right? And I was like, oh, hell no, bitch. Like, I got a lot mm-hmm. of Goya in my pantry. And I'm sort of like, damn. And he doubled down on it. Right.
Yeah.
He said, my allegiance is to white supremacy and oppression and dehumanization and death of my community. And so, again, this is political, right? Lo que comemos, even that. And so, I mean, we were talking about it at our house. Bueno, digo, you know, I don't know, I, you know, quién soy yo, pero I said, bueno, ya pues, I quedo Goya Foods, and I'll keep shout out La Bahía, shout out Sofritos, right? I'm going to support my local businesses.
Yes.
And support the folks who I know are keeping our both their livelihoods and our kind of cultures alive. And also, I think we have to, keep tabs on shit like this, right? Like even our pocketbook is political. You can certainly do, you know, write a letter, you can sign a petition, can do all that, but also don't fucking buy things from people who are clearly in opposition to our own communities.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I want everybody to know who you are, where you come from, what are you doing? So where are you right now?
So I'm Kenya, Kenya Morales. I am in a new gig.
Yes.
So I'm sort of figuring that out. But I am the new national director for the Win Justice PAC, or the Win Justice Coalition, which is essentially a $30 million campaign backed by a group of progressive organizations, which include Color Change PAC, Community Change Action, Planned Parenthood Votes, and SCIU. So I am leading the national campaign that will be focused on expanding the electorate by mobilizing our people, right? Our gente, so young people, people of color, infrequent voters, across union supporters, women across each of the battleground states, which for us will be four this cycle. So Florida, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and our home, Bobby, Nevada.
Congratulations.
Ooh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This is week three on the job. So very much coming in. I'm looking at the calendar. We have 100+ days until election day and, getting programs off the ground and making sure that we are, well, not making sure, but we are definitely adjusting our strategy given COVID-19, given the uprisings across the country, given the ways that there's voter suppression as we're trying to build an electoral program. So definitely have my hands full.
I'm so, so glad that you reached out because, Latinos Who Lunch, we try to be like a safe space for people. And during the last election, we were like, oh, we're not going to have candidates on the show. We're not apolitical on the show, but we wanted it to be like, you know, a space where people could come and not listen to political stuff. But it's like,
yeah.
Now it's getting to a point where if we don't talk about these things, it's irresponsible. And we're in a world right now where everybody's just looking for help and mm-hmm. trying to figure out the best way to organize and to be politically active. And, you know, for a very long time, I've been very, you know, neutral, diplomatic. That's kind of been my identity here in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. And it's just, ya basta. Enough is enough, you know? And so thanks to friends like you and, you know, our friends over at Radio Menea that you were friends with.
Yes.
That's how I met you through them, which is so awesome.
Shout out to Vero and Perez when they listen to this. I love you both so much.
I love the new series they're doing where they're interviewing artists is mm-hmm. so good. I think that the Lido Pimienta interview, if y'all haven't listened to it, go listen. She is so cool. It's such a good interview. Okay. But I've learned so much from y'all, like, because a lot of people, they get very discouraged because these are really awful things that are happening and people are very overwhelmed and, you know, and don't know who to go to, what to do. But there's so many ways that you can help with so many, with the movement, really. I mean, there's so many separate movements, but at the end of the day, you know, it's all for a positive change, you know?
Absolutely.
So I think
mm-hmm. something just on that, Bobby, when you talked about that, like people get so overwhelmed. I think that's exactly right. There is so much misinformation and disinformation by the opposition, right? So by Trump and his cronies and sort of folks down, you know, at all levels of government. And I think it's really like us as our own people, right? Like turning to our family members and to our friends and to the folks that we know. And then also the way we make change is by organizing our neighborhoods and our communities at the local level, right? So I think it is true. Like we get totally overwhelmed when you're watching the news or you're scrolling across your social media. But I think both the Win Justice theory and sort of how I come into this work, it really mm-hmm. is like I am having a conversation with Fali. I am having a conversation with my neighbors, with my family about the issues because we're talking about it anyways, right? We are... you know, right now, maybe not so much with COVID-19, but like in our own houses, we're having these conversations. And so really, like, those then become organizing opportunities. And, you know, I know we were just talking, Fabi, about the Neon Museum, right? Like, in our, I'm Nicaraguan by birth, but raised in Vegas, and Vegas is home. And I've seen the artist community, a lot has come and gone. There's a very vibrant organizing community here in Nevada. Right now, the Nevada legislature is in a special session to address this $1.2 billion shortfall. And so really, like, when we're talking about how do we, like, move past this, like, shit, I'm overwhelmed or things feel tough. And it's really, I think, at the end of the day, like, how we talk to our own people. And I think you're right when you say we are irresponsible if we don't talk about these issues. That's exactly right.
What people don't realize is how much work this takes, because, like, you know, I did an open letter to the Neon Museum thinking, okay, these are the steps that I've seen. I'm modeling, you know, that from my friends that are activists. Like, you contact the people, they don't respond, you put out a letter with demands, you know, like, I'm just trying to help my friends that work at the Neon Museum and be kind of a representative for them. And then once those demands are out there, what next? You know, like, what do I do? I was like, shit, I got to figure this out right now. But it's been really great. I've been having meetings with the board members, and I see some positive change coming. But like you said, I didn't expect this to take so much labor on my end. And I don't think a lot of people realize how much physical labor, emotional labor, how much time, you know, this takes up. And I know, I mean, we talk about it all the time on Latinos Who Lunch, is like, you know, that is white supremacy at work. Like, they want you to get tired so you leave them alone. You know what I mean? And so how do we organize, and how do we do this without getting tired, you know? We need organizations, and I feel like we need people to gather together, to organize, so that to relieve the burnout, right? So, because that happens so easy. I mean, you can go online now and people aren't posting as much as they were just a week ago, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think that is spot on, right? Mm-hmm. And I would say, what is the antidote to white supremacy and this culture of individualization and sort of me, right? Like, the antidote to that is solidarity, right? And so I very much come from a point of thought of, like, many hands make light work, right? Like, it should not be on Favi, on Favi's own, to be putting these demands on the Neon Museum as an individual artist, right? Like, how do we build, you know, how do we go from an individual activist like I, Kenya, and passionate about saving the polar bears, to saying, hey, our community, like, we are really impacted by what happens to those animals. We should all come together, right? So moving from an individual activist, my own values and belief systems, to educating our community on the issue and then mobilizing, right? Mm-hmm. So to do that, and I think that is actually an antidote to white supremacy. It is why the federal government, South Dakota state government passed really crappy legislation to tear down the indigenous organizers around Standing Rock when they were fighting the Keystone Pipeline, right? Like, we know that the antidote to white supremacy is solidarity and organizing and power building. And I think we have to do that everywhere, all the time, at all levels. But and it sounds overwhelming as I say that, but really I think about it as like, it's a shared thing. Right? Like, I, Kenya, do not know that we're fighting with the Neon Museum over some basic things about where do you stand with Black people in our community, right? And so I would say, like, if, you know, again, many hands make light work. Us working together, us, you know, talking to our neighbors about it and our communities about it, our sort of going from our individuals, like, that has a larger effect. And it's actually how power building happens, right? And there are people that, like myself, who get to earn a living when doing this work. But once upon a time, that wasn't the case for me. I was also a little osicona, you know, like whatever. But then, you know, I think, but it is the, but there, and so certainly we want to support organizations who do wake up and fall asleep thinking about issues like revenue in the state of Nevada, or thinking about the Minneapolis Charter Amendment in Minnesota, or thinking about the DA's races and sheriff's races in Florida, or so on and so forth. So many different places, right? Folks in Wisconsin fighting back against the GOP's almost veto-proof power on the state. So there, there's certainly organizations that are doing this, and I think it's about us individually getting plugged in, right? And saying, okay, I want to support the Neon Museum. Now I know I should talk to Favi. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, it's really building solidarity. That's my son. It's hey. Really building solidarity in all of our work. So
yeah.
And that's, I think, how one way that we begin to dismantle white supremacy.
Yes, yes. And so I want to get into how we can organize during this time of COVID. But before, something that I think is very interesting, and I've been thinking about this a lot because I've been trying to translate a lot of these ideas to my family in Spanish nowadays. And I'm realizing that a lot of politics, a lot of ideas, a lot of laws, and just the way that everything works, my family doesn't even understand that. So it's almost like it's like a little mini government lesson at home, because that's like, again, we talk about white supremacy, right? Like, a lot of people don't learn about that because they never feel like they're empowered and made feel like their voice matters and they can vote. Thankfully, here in Las Vegas, my mom, she's always been part of unions, so she always, you know, she's always there at the voting booth, which is, I think, really important. But I want to get into some of the language that I hear a lot, and because I know a lot of listeners here, you know, are with it, and they're, you know, old school, like Tumblr millennials, que saben todo, but not everybody. And so I want to kind of break it down. And so first of all, I'm going to go back to Win Justice Coalition, which you are the director of, and it's actually several organizations that came together to form this coalition. And I always see the word PAC, P-A-C, mm-hmm. Yep. Because Color of Change PAC is part of the coalition. Yep. Can you explain what a PAC is?
Yes, this is actually, I'm like, good, easy question.
Probably. Yes.
when we're talking, there are, the way I think about it at its most sort of primitive way to think about this mm-hmm. is IRS statuses. So that, you know, the Internal Revenue Service, we all know taxes. So really what we're talking about here is the IRS and how these things are defined. So there are a number of various ways that we think about this, but there's 501c3 organizations, which are usually just your nonprofits, everything from your local food bank to United Way or what have you. And mm-hmm. then you have these 501c4 organizations who are your folks like Sierra Club, or on the opposite side, the, you know, NRA, who are doing more of the advocacy work on issues. And then you have these PACs. So you have super PACs and PACs, and they are different in their distinction. But essentially, PAC stands for Political Action Committee. And it means that every dollar that you bring in, you can spend it on supporting or opposing a candidate. And so you can also do more than just that, but it means that we can spend money on TV to say, you know, this November, a lot is at stake. You know, please vote for Favi for state senate, right? Like, it means that mm-hmm. we can be explicit. It's called expressed advocacy, that we can do explicit support or opposition of our candidate, right? That we can say, you know, this November, a lot is at stake. Don't vote for, you know, Billy Bob or whatnot. So it's really what that is. It is an IRS status that tells you what you can and cannot do. And so there's a whole little bit of a back end on that in terms of reporting. But that's at its most primitive, basic, that's what it is.
Okay. And then the other word that you hear a lot is lobbyist. What is a lobbyist?
Yeah. At its core, I would say a lobbyist is a person who takes action on an issue before an elected official. Right. So so it is Fabi. Fabi cares about arts and education. Fabi goes and takes action on it. Right. So makes a request or is pushing an issue before some elected body, whether it's local, whether it's state, whether it's federal.
Okay. Okay. And now let's get into, you know, just light topics. Let's get into voter suppression. Something casual. Something.
Ready.
Oh, my gosh. Because, girl, these primaries.
They're out here.
The voter suppression showed up and showed out, baby. I mean, I know we're laughing about it, but it's really messed up.
No, it's yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, I can say a few things about it sort of from the Win Justice frame, but also kind of bigger picture, too. I mean, when I think about voter suppression, I think about it at various layers, right? So there is a long-standing history in this nation of suppressing the right to vote of people of color, indigenous people, black people in particular, right? Latinos, API folks, like this is not brand new, right? And we've seen it over the years and in the past few decades, particularly show up around gerrymandering, right? Particularly show up around the issues of gerrymandering across the country. I think Wisconsin is probably the sort of best example of how effective Republicans have been at cutting the state up in a way that gives them an edge. But then I think as we kind of zero in, then we have this immediate moment, some real bullshit voter suppression underway, right? With COVID-19, where voters and people are having to choose between their right to cast a ballot and their right to stay healthy and safe, right? And so across the country, we are seeing states pass all sorts of legislation or throw out all sorts of signatures when people try to cast a ballot, right? And so, you know, we saw that in Georgia. I'm sure folks were watching the news in June where folks stood in line for miles, right? Or to try to cast a ballot. We saw that in our own Las Vegas, right? At the Desert Breeze Community Center. The line was around the corner.
I mean, I think I waited in line for at least 3 hours.
At least.
Yeah.
And y eso fue que ya, you know, ya teníamos ballots, right? Mm-hmm. But not everyone received their ballot. And right now, like I said at the top, you know, the Nevada legislature is going to be having this question, right? Is it a full vote by mail where we will be sending ballots to folks in their homes, or is it going to be in person, right? What is the same day voting look like given COVID-19? I think the interesting piece, not I think, but for us at Win Justice, we are set up to run electoral programs, right? To mobilize voters, to talk about the issues, to do all of the things to get somebody to turn out. But now we are finding ourselves not only doing electoral work, but also advocacy work in this moment, right? Where we are having to fight back at the hyper-local level because so much of how voter suppression happens is hyper-local, right? We're having to fight back at the local level to say, hey, like just this week in Wisconsin, the GOP filed a lawsuit, right? To limit early vote period in Milwaukee and Madison, or maybe just Milwaukee. So we are responding to that, right? And I think that, again, this is so much of how white supremacy happens, right? Things get, we start to make things overly complicated, or we try to remove people because they don't really know how the system works. And so we're both trying to talk to our people and say, hey, this election is really like a test for the soul of our nation. And the Trump administration is an existential threat to our future. Mm-hmm. And also we are fighting to make sure that you're able to actually do the thing, which is vote. And so, I think not just myself, but across all of the folks in the progressive movement, this is what we are facing, and fighting back against the misinformation and disinformation. Right? Trump has already been talking about BBM is bad, absentee is good, and it's like, what the hell are you talking about, Trump? Those are the two same things. Vote by mail is literally absentee ballots.
Dios mío.
So it is. No está fácil, right? Mm-hmm. Like, to talk about voter suppression in 2020, like, I'm like, are we serious, y'all? But, you know, here we are looking at the gerrymandering, looking at COVID-19 and what it means for us, looking at the ongoing stuff that happens at these local levels. And really, we're of the position that a person shouldn't have to choose between their right to live and their right to vote. And so we're fighting it on all fronts.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. What a time. What a time to be alive.
What a time. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And so, you know, I talked about it, I think, a little bit the last episode. We were talking about monuments and the movement, and how this is nothing new, you know, especially with Black Lives Matter. And so a lot of people are discouraged because, you know, as Americans in the United States, we want like instant results, right? Because that's what we're used to. And it just takes some time. And so I wanted to give people a little bit of hope and say, you know, thank you for posting memes and reposting like really important information. But it's time right now to take your activism a little bit further. Don't just post a meme. Sign a petition, call state representatives, you know, write a letter, write an email. And like I said last time, use your privilege. I have like 15 years of administrative assistant experience. So I can craft an email. I'm going to do it.
Well, and here's the thing that you were saying earlier about our family and translating ideas into Spanish and sort of all of that. Like, the thing that I would want to offer about that, Fabi, is that like, sure, sometimes our folks don't know language. I think there's some assumptions, but I'm like, I'm sure if we start talking about issues, especially myself, my family is Nicoya. Shout out all the Nicaraguans who make it to the city. Hey, out here, Central Americans represent. But like, if I'm talking to my family about issues, they know that first and foremost, front and center, right? Like, because our countries that we're from really have always been at the forefront, right? I feel like I am very much the daughter and the wildest dream of my ancestors who fought against dictatorships, right? And U.S. intervention. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, it is possible, and I know this to be true, that our folk, at least my family, we don't always know the words, right? But we know that we have values and we know how things feel, right? And I think that we can organize from there, right? So right now, for example, I've been going back and forth with my family around the racial justice uprisings, and my family has been saying all sorts of fucked up shit about like, pero Kenia, no ves lo que están haciendo, están destruyendo propiedad, y yo trabajo duro, blah, 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 right? Like, they're saying all these things. And my response is like, let's talk about it from a values perspective, right? And we can translate that. And I think to your piece, you know, about privilege and using that, I think it is one part. Let us write a letter, sign a petition, show up to city council meeting, and also let's fucking talk to our own people. Like, have that conversation with your tía and your abuelo. Like, we need to have these conversations with our communities across the board, because I think so much of, again, it goes back to how we organize, but so much about it is the same. This misinformation and disinformation exists in Spanish media too. right? Where our
girl, Telemundo en Univision. Oh right, my gosh. Right,
and shout out mi gente and mm-hmm. a crew of folks that are really pushing back on that, right? Yeah. But I think it is in all of the above, right? And the way that we counter sort of our cansancio around it is, again, solidarity, right? So it's like us have the tough conversations with our folk on issues. Also, if our folks are like, no entiendo lo que está pasando, we can talk about it from a values perspective, right? Like, mira, lo que está pasando es que nos están matando. Mm-hmm. Right? Like there is and we deserve a right to live. We deserve very fucking basic, the right to breathe. Right? So there's that layer. Then I think there's like the getting educated on the issues, right? And shout out 2020, shout out millennials, Gen Zers, like we can Google something, right? Like we can just do hashtag search in Twitter and we can see who is already talking about these issues that I am passionate about, whether it is the Neon Museum and the arts community in Las Vegas or voter suppression in Florida, right? Like there are folks that are already doing this work. So it's about us learning, getting plugged in. Maybe it's like in my bones now, but I think, for me, I feel really, really motivated and excited about the ways that we can engage our own communities, the ways that we can bring through a values-based framework, and then we can then turn that into action, right? I think the action part is like, maybe where we're like, oh shit, ¿cómo le hago? But that's, you know, there's folks that are doing this and thinking about this that we can plug in with. And again, that's how we build power. It's how we build movements. It's how we dismantle all these fucked up systems that try to keep us down.
Yeah, yes. And something that I was just talking to my friend Eva, shout out to Eva Regina, De Colores Radio, another really great podcast.
Yes.
We were talking about to remember to give our families a little bit of grace when talking about these things, because Kenya, I mean, as Central Americans, we know that there's a lot of there's a lot of colorismo, first of all, but there's also a lot of a trauma, you know, in the 70s, 80s, 90s, and I know my family left Guatemala because it was quite violent and they saw a lot of things and so they come to the United States and you know, I don't think a lot of people talk about this, but they come here and they realize, oh shit, like
aquí también está jodido.
And so instead of facing that and doing, and you know, and being politically active, you just keep your head down.
Keep your head down.
Send the money back. Y a ver si un día en una aldea, you know, I'll build my little house and I'll go back to.
Yes.
But nobody talks about that because that's not the narrative that the United States wants. They want, oh, you came here for the American dream. But I know so many Latinx people, Latin American people that are like, all my parents talk about is wanting to go back to their homeland. So.
Yeah, and I mean, let's say that, like, say that part again,
right?
Because secrecy and keep your head down, that is also white supremacy, right? Like, so what happens when we lift up our voices and we're like, oye, ¿qué pasó ahí? Right? Like, that shifts our posture as a community, that shifts our posture as a society, right? That we can then build the world we want to see, right? And certainly, like, I'm team una aldea también en Nicaragua overlooking lakes. That would be great. But also would say, well, I live here. I'm raising, you know, you heard my son earlier. I'm raising some kiddos here.
Yeah.
And my children deserve to walk in safety in, you know, 89103, which is Las Vegas, sort of, you know, kind of in the heart of Vegas, as they do in Summerlin or in Centennial, right? Like we should demand these things. Instead of just, I mean, shout out, yo también. I'm like, do some work, girl. Like, you know, definitely like that is our people. We work hard, but also like, no nos tenemos que dejar.
Exactly.
You know, like, and I think that's where fucking systems rely on. Like, well, they won't say anything or they're fearful or they don't know enough. And again, read, y'all, like educate one another, yes. Have the conversation. What's up? What are we hearing? You know, and I think we can do that. But I agree wholeheartedly with this piece about grace with our own people.
Yeah.
My own family too, my mom in like 2005 when we were doing actions around what was then Sensenbrenner 4437 bill. Federally, you know, it was like 04, ya ni me acuerdo el año. But my mom would be like, no se puede protestar Kenia. Mm-hmm. And because my mom's legacy of protests was getting watered, you know, getting hosed down, getting tear gas. And obviously we're seeing that in 2020. But, and so my family would say, Kenia, no seas activista, no andes ahí en las calles, quédate mejor en la casa. Que es peligroso, right? Stay at home because it's dangerous, and we obviously know that to be true. But also, we can't again, solidarity, all the things. I sound like a broken record, but yeah. I hear you on that because that is my family too, Fabi.
Yeah, it just takes time, y'all, and you know, because I related this on the show. Like I talked to my mom, and she just kind of stopped talking, and I said, "What? Why aren't you talking to me anymore?" And she's like, "I'm afraid of saying something wrong, you know, like because they don't know." So now I'm again. That was a couple weeks ago. Now I'm talking to her again, and we're having good conversations. So just a reminder, you know, give people a little grace,
yes.
But try again, you know, come in again, and we're all learning how to talk about this, you know, a lot of mm-hmm. us are. I mean, Kenya over here is a professional. Directora, okay? Licenciada.
No, I mean, yeah. But it's the same in my own family too,
right?
Right? Like we are, we're having a conversation, and I think it's like, no, not like fear of not knowing or fear of fucking up, like should not be a deterrent from
yeah.
us having the conversation, because as you said, it's irresponsible if we don't, right? Folks' lives are on the line here, right? We know Latino and Black communities have the highest death rates of COVID-19. We know that that is connected to how healthcare moves in this country. We know that is connected to low wage work. I mean, the connections are there. Right. So let's have the conversation. And I, you know, I'll say this example, even for my own family, in 2016 in Nevada, the ballots came and there were a ton of ballot measures. And my family said, hija, yo no sé estas preguntas. Right. What is question one, question two, question three? And I think that is where I, as you know, an immigrant, but also essentially, you know, raised here, me trajeron cuando yo era niña, where I play this connector role for my community, right? Like I can say, bueno, here's what this ballot measure means for us. Yes, no. And I think for my generation, I very much feel pride in being that for my community, both as a bridge to have the tough conversations, as a bridge to be able to deepen knowledge. And now in this role, right, like I get to think through strategy and electoral programs and advocacy. I get to do all that high level stuff. But, you know, at the end of the day, I'm doing the same work with my family. And yeah, that's what I would say.
Okay, Kenya, let's get into organizing under COVID.
In 2020, COVID-19, we're really adapting how we're thinking about programming, right? Mm-hmm. Where before we would have ran, you know, we would have ran a door-to-door program and we're like, hola, Fabi, you know, here to talk to you about stuff. But now we're in this really interesting place where we're thinking through how we bring the adaptations of technology that makes it possible for us to connect, and also continuing to do the grassroots work that we know works, right? Mm. Family members and neighbors talking to one another, me talking to you about these issues. And we hope to be able to nationally as a PAC reach at least 4 million voters across these four states, Florida, Nevada, Wisconsin, Minnesota, and put our issues front and center, and make this election, in my mind, a referendum on Trump and a referendum
yes.
on all of the folks who would try to oppress our communities. But thank you for having me on here, Fabi.
Yes. I mean, it's been
my first podcast.
It's been, you are incredible. I can't believe this is your first podcast. Okay, Kenya, where can people find you online?
Danos la lista. I'll put all the links on the show notes so people can find you and all the organizations that you rep.
Yes, yes, yes. So I am on Twitter. It is, I be out there. So you can find me on Twitter at La Kenia, E-M, L-A-K-E-N-I-A-E-M. Yeah, La Kenia. That's what people called me growing up. La Kenia, y La Kenia.
¿Dónde está La Kenia?
Y La Kenia, ¿la han visto La Kenia? So people are like, who's La Kenia? And I'm like, that's fucking me, y'all. Never mind. So I'm on Twitter at La Kenia EM. And then Fabi, I will share all the websites for how to reach the When Justice Crew. So Planned Parenthood and SCIU and the Community Change Action Partners, as well as Color of Change.
Awesome. We'll put everything in the show notes. So whatever app you're on right now, you can just click directly on your phone or on your computer. It'll also be on our website. Again, Kenya, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me. This was awesome, and I hope to have you on again in the future.
Bueno, pues, you got my cell phone, so make it happen, Fabi. Thank you so much for having me on, and I hope that this inspires folks to have the conversations and to take action in their own communities.
Aleluya. Amen.
That's right. Ashe.
Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh my gosh, so great having Kenya on the show. Ugh.
She's a natural, man. She should have her own podcast. It's amazing.
I know. She's so good. She's so good. Thank you so much for being on the show, Kenya. And I love all the things that she brought up. I mean, you know, we haven't really got into the whole Goya thing, girl.
Oh my God. Like, it's a thing. I've been thinking about labels, especially after starting to read this whole thing, because it's crazy, man. Like, my first viejito instinct, I was like, oh, this political correctness, like, it's so much, but that's not true. Like, because white supremacy is embedded in everything, everything. That the fact that people are finally waking up and changing all these labels and starting to think about it, it's amazing. And here we have these motherfuckers, Goya, that they don't care, and they're even going more to the far right. Like, what the fuck is going on, you know?
This is the thing with a lot of Latinos, is like, capitalism is so in our blood that we identify with products, like, or products are symbols of our identity, I should say, like consumer products. So like, all of those fucking, what is it? What is the generation after millennials? I don't even know, girl. I'm just so old. Generation Z, what are they?
I no me acuerdo, güey.
We don't know nothing. Just why do we have a show? Okay, wait. Well, you know, people younger than us, like all the fucking hot Cheeto influencers. I'm like, what is your personality? Your personality is that you eat hot Cheetos and you put fucking... You eat takis and you put tajin on stuff. That's your personality. Like, come on. So like, that's the same thing with Goya. A lot of people like are so proud of the product because it is Latinx, you know. And look what happens. Look what happens.
Girl, it's like, I've already mentioned this before in the podcast several times. Es como mi mamá. ¿Nor Suiza? ¿Es de Suiza? ¿Que no es de México?
I know.
But it's so embedded. But there's so many changes happening, and I'm really happy. Like the Aunt Jemima's logo, fucking racist ass logo that has been around for decades and decades and decades, it's finally going through a rebranding. There was a 17-year-old kid that called out Trader Joe's because it normalizes this expat, you know, like laid back attitude of, when white people go and live in other countries, they're expats, pero aquí nosotros todos somos unos inmigrantes, you know? So he called them out, and Trader Joe's is going through a whole, they're going to redo a lot of their branding. But there's Uncle Ben, the rice, like everybody is rethinking, you know, the base of their branding, you know, and we see it as like, and we talked about this before, like we're always like, ay, que tiene, like it's funny, it's cute, it's fun, you know, But oh no, it's embedded everywhere that what we're doing is normalizing these violent ass images. So like all these people are going through all this reckoning. They finally fucking figure it out after hundreds of years. Y los Latinos, güey, what the fuck is going on, you know? So I know there's a lot of people, and I'm glad we, you know, you did this interview, because there's a lot of people, there's a lot of Latinos that are organizing and fighting, and they never stop, and it's nothing new. Pero yeah. Las caras que nos representan, like, what the fuck, you know? It's a mess.
Yeah. And I also want to say, we're asking the police to stop killing Black people.
Right.
That's the main goal here.
Right.
Is to defund the police, stop killing Black people, and just treat everyone in this country like a human being. Nobody asked to paint Black Lives Matter on the streets. Nobody asked to put a statue in the UK. You know what I mean? Like, that's all. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying, remember, sometimes this shit is a distraction. But yes, Aunt Jemima is fucked up. That character was based on a mammy and all these stereotypes.
Right,
like,
right.
It's fucked up. That should have been gone a long time ago.
A long time ago.
And shout out to all that movement that's happening. I mean, I think the Redskins, they're no longer going to be the Redskins, you know? Like,
finally.
There's all these Native American mascots and symbolism, you know, Lando Lakes, the butter. Many, like, I think a year ago, slowly started changing the... Or over the years has slowly started, you know, changed the art on their butter packaging, and they finally took the Native American figure out of it, and people were outraged, you know. But still, it's like, yes, there's all this progress being expedited right now when it comes to that. But don't forget, like, let's not forget what's really happening with Black lives,
right,
you know?
Right, and that was...
Because these are all just, like, performative gestures.
But at the same time, like, when you are born in a world where you're filled with those signifiers everywhere, by the time you graduate from police academy, you know, like, it's not that big of a stretch, because your whole entire life you have been indoctrinated in these white supremacy symbols and images that we take as fun, you know, or as sweet, or as... tender, which is the way that the Aunt Jemima label has been described. But the reality is that no, like, let's start erasing all those signifiers from everywhere, and hopefully we'll engender a generation of people that will think about it twice before they sign to the police academy, or they rethink the terms in which they're going to engage their practices within the police academy. Because let's be real, what we need for our cops is to have a fucking couple of classes on ethics and racial justice and history, and that's not going to fucking happen because they're too busy learning how to manage a fucking gun. So if
yeah, and some of them don't even know how to do that. Really.
Exactly.
Honestly.
Exactly. So yeah. as it may be a distraction, it's also a necessary change.
And you're right. You're right, because it doesn't. It. I mean, and also a couple classes, that doesn't do any change either.
Right.
I worked
at
so many nonprofits, like big corporations or whatever, where they do diversity training for a couple days, and they're like, we fixed racism at the workplace, that's it. And then, like, the next day somebody makes a joke that's inappropriate and everybody laughs it off. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
That doesn't do shit. The Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department here, they are supposed to be, like, one of the most, like, trained in de-escalation, and they've had all this sensitivity training, and they're still killing Black people.
But so, let's be real, girl. Those sensitivity training.
Yeah. So we need it. Needs to. We need to. It needs to happen from the beginning.
Right.
You know, like from when we were in school, learning about this violence that nobody teaches us about.
And I this made me think a lot, because last year in our landscape class, I started the class with a painting that Kirsten Buick pointed out to me, the professor from UNM, and there's a painting called Distant View on Niagara Falls from Thomas Call from the 1800s, and it's supposed to be a beautiful painting of Niagara Falls, and in tiny, tiny, tiny little figures, you have Native Americans. The landscape is in autumn. And the whole thing is that it's a representation of the fact that it's the autumn of Native Americans and is the time of white peoples to take over their land because it's been this long and they didn't develop the land. That's the main message of the painting. And when you go to the fucking museum, the Art Institute of Chicago, it's all about the sublime and the grandeur of Niagara Falls, inspired 19th century artists. It's everywhere, man, from like a seemingly innocent, beautiful, you know, painting of Niagara Falls all the way to the shit that you put in your stomach. So if each one of us will just like send a letter to a museum calling out one painting from their collection, it will be a huge ass change. But it shouldn't have to be our job to have to be writing these fucking letters. Like, they need to be doing their job. So I'm glad to see that companies are being called out, but also like changing their ways before they're being called out, you know? So like, hopefully this is the beginning of a change, pero soy tan cínico, man, that I don't truly believe it, but we'll see.
Cool. All right.
Okay.
Our recommendation this week is to register to vote and actually do something, people.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
If you're posting memes about politics, don't just be a hobbyist. Like political person, like actually do something. The minimum you can do if you are able to. Shout out to our undocumented friends that cannot vote, that still have to pay taxes in this goddamn country that hates us.
Right.
Okay. Anyway, thanks for paying your taxes, y'all, because you're paying for all these bailouts for these billionaires. Okay. Anyway, don't forget to vote. Oh, God. All right. Are we done?
Yes, I think we're done. This is a good way to end it.
Okay. Thank you, Kenya. That was such a fun convo. Oh, my God. I'm definitely going to go eat some Nicaraguan food now. Probably after this recording because I'm hungry. Okay. As always, you can visit us at latinoswholunch.com. Please send us your emails at asklwlpod@gmail.com, and we might read them on a future episode. Please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. 5 stars.
5 stars solamente.
Because the more reviews we have, the more visible we are. And
visibility leads to representation, and representation matters.
Today's episode was produced by Justin Favela and Emmanuel Ortega, with production assistance from Maite Sosa. The band you're listening to now is Balloon. I'm Fabi Fav.
And this is Babelito.
Goodbye.
Ciao, ciao, ciao.